Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse number 14. It says, "And it came to pass when the people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come into the Jordan," or stepping into the Jordan, "and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks at this time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came downward from the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." Verse 17, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." I want to just speak to you on this subject today, if I could, the space between Jordan and Jericho. The space between Jordan and Jericho. Would you pray with me one more time before we're seated in this house? Lord, we love you. God, I'm just humbled to be in your house today, God. I'm thankful to feel your presence. Lord, I ask you, God, today, over the next few moments, as we take a glimpse into your word, God, that's already anointed, let you would bring clarity of thought to me, that I can bring your word forth, and let our hearts be ready to receive what you would have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated today. Amen. The space between Jordan and Jericho. Before we can go forward from here, I want to give a little brief history of where we find the context of this scripture here in Joshua chapter number 3. This history of the Jordan promise that we read about just now actually started many years before this with Abraham. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he called him into a promised land in Genesis chapter number 12. He called Abraham out of a culture that he didn't even understand probably who God was, and he didn't worship God the way we do today, but God found a way to speak into the life of Abraham to the point where he said, "I want you to leave everything that you have, everything that you know, every culture that you're acquainted with and your family, and I want you to step out and I want you to follow me by faith unto a promised land." That's where this Jordan River promise really began. He says, "If you'll leave and you'll go where I'm asking you to go, I'll show you where it is and I'll promise it to your family." And that journey that Abraham began with just faith and with no direction other than that continued through his son Isaac and then through Jacob and then through Joseph, and they found themselves in Egypt for over 400 years after Joseph in slavery. Lots of history here that I'm just giving a little context to where we're at today. In slavery, after God brought them into Egypt to save them, he allows them to be enslaved for over 400 years until Moses is the deliverer that he sends to bring them out. God delivers them through Moses, and they leave Egypt. The Bible says they spoiled Egypt. Not only did they leave, but they left with more than what they walked into it with. They walked into Egypt, just about 35 or 40 people, and they left with 1 million-plus people. They walked in with nothing, didn't even have food. That's why they came, and they left with spoils of gold and silver. God brought them out of Egypt, and he brings them through the desert to the Jordan River. A relatively short journey, if you find it on a map, if you look at where they left from to where they ended up at the Jordan River, it was not that far. It was, some say, 11-day journey, some say a little bit more than that. But it didn't take them long necessarily to get to the Jordan River. The problem was they didn't believe God's promises. Moses sent across 12 spies, and only 2 of them came back with a good report. 2 of them said, "We can do it. God's with us. He's going to provide a way." And 10 of them said, "There's no way. We missed it somewhere. God didn't make sense somewhere, because this won't work." And so because of that, they were turned out into the wilderness. They were at the brink of their promise, but were turned out into the wilderness for 40 years to wander, the Bible says, until that entire generation passed away. The entire generation that wouldn't trust God has now passed away, and now they find themselves under the leadership of Joshua. Joshua brings them back under the direction of God to that same Jordan River, and they're faced with the same decision that their ancestors were faced with. Will we believe God for the promises that he's given to us? Will we trust in Him? Will we allow Him to lead us where He wants us to go? And in this case, the Bible tells us that Joshua was instructed to get the priest and have them pick up the Ark of the Covenant and bear it upon their shoulders and get everybody else ready. And when they step into the Jordan River, everybody else will be able to follow. The Bible indicates here in this scripture that we read, it was a time of harvest, and so this river was overflowing its banks. This wasn't something that you could like step across or wade across. This was a raging river in the time of harvest. It wasn't safe. But as soon as the priests stepped their feet into the water, the Bible tells us that the waters stopped flowing from the north. And they stopped from the south, and it dried up, and they were able to all cross over. It was an incredible testimony. God brought them through again, just as if they were, you know, previously the generation through the Red Sea. Now they're going across the Jordan River to where they were supposed to go. This was the promised land. This was what was beginning to spoken of hundreds of years before with Abraham. They're finally realizing the promise that they've been given and their family had been given. They're across the Jordan River. They set up a memorial. They have 12 stones, one from each tribe. They set them up as a memorial to remind them of what God did for them. The people are excited. God provided them. He gave them a miracle, and they were able to see it with their own eyes. But now what? They didn't go right into the Battle of Jericho. Our mind thinks they crossed the river, and somebody wrote the song, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho. Anybody know that song? And the walls came tumbling down. They didn't go from the river to Jericho. There's a space between Jordan and Jericho. There was a space of time in between. The land that was in front of them was inhabited. Yes, God was before them, but so was the enemy. Yes, God had instructed them and given them direction, but there was something in their path. There was a walled, fortified city of Jericho that was looking right at them as they crossed over the River Jordan. And we celebrate the crossing of the Jordan River, and we celebrate the demise of the walls of Jericho. But what happened between those two things? What happened between crossing the river and seeing the hand of God bring about deliverance through Jericho? What took place? Chapter 5 outlines everything that happened during that time period. There's a space between Jordan and Jericho. The first thing that they had to do is they had to uncircumcise an entire generation. The covenant that God had given Abraham, listen, I'm just putting some context here. It's going to take me a moment, and then it won't take me long to finish, okay? I promise. Historically, God had made a promise with Abraham and had put a covenant into place for him and his whole lineage. He said, if you'll serve me, if you'll do what I tell you to do, your descendants will be as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. I'm giving you this covenant. The sign of that covenant was circumcision. And the Bible tells us that the whole time they were wandering in the wilderness, they didn't fulfill that covenant. So now they've crossed the Jordan River, and now they're getting ready to face another uphill battle with Jericho. The first thing that God had them do was to circumcise an entire generation. Why is that important? That's a recommitment to the covenant that brought them there in the first place. The whole reason they're there is because Abraham was obedient. The whole reason they're at, where they're at is because Abraham obeyed the voice of God and the word of God and circumcised and fell into that covenant, that promise that God had given them. The covenant was connected to the promise. And there's so much more there that we could study today, but the covenant is connected to the promise. The promise can't be without the covenant. And so they recommit to that covenant. The second thing we read that they do is they celebrated Passover. Passover was dedicated to the remembrance and the testimony of what God did when He brought them out of Egypt. Remember, the people that are celebrating this covenant is the younger generation. They probably don't remember what happened in Egypt. They don't probably have much recollection of what happened because everybody that was old enough to had already died. And so somebody like Moses and Joshua and Caleb had to say, let me tell you what Passover is all about. Passover has to do with the fact that when all those plagues were taking place in Egypt and Pharaoh still would not let us go, the final plague was the death of the firstborn of every creature in that country. And the only thing that saved us was being obedient to the promise of God that said, if you'll kill a lamb and you'll take a little blood from the lamb and you'll take it and put it on the lintels of the house that you're in, the death angel will pass over you. And so they celebrate that Passover. in acknowledgement and remembrance and in testimony of what God had done for them, for how God had spared them because of their obedience. You understand, obedience is tied to all of these things. Being obedient to the word of God is tied to the promises of God. You can't get away from obedience to God and try to just accumulate the promises of God. They're connected. They're inseparable. And so they recommit that entire generation that had not been committed to the covenant. And then they celebrate Passover by remembering what God had done for them and giving thanks to God for what he had done for them. But then the next thing that happens seems a little peculiar. The immediate verse that follows after they celebrated Passover, the Bible tells us that manna stopped. The manna, the what sustained them, the food that they were able to live on for 40 years in the wilderness is now gone. Every day, except for Sunday, every day of the week, they would go out and gather manna. They've done this forever. This is what they were used to. This is what they were comfortable with. It was easy to accumulate the sustenance that God was giving them. Every day it was out on the yard, and they would just go pick it up. Couldn't have more than one day except for Saturday, or it would spoil. But they were used to this. This is how God moved in their lives. And now after they recommitted and they gave thanks to God, acknowledged that God brought them out, now all of a sudden everything that sustained them is gone. Now the scripture tells us that it was gone because within that year they were going to eat of the fruit of Canaan. But they weren't eating of the fruit of Canaan yet. There's a space between Jordan and Jericho. There's a time frame from when God brings you over from one season and puts you into another season. We would all love to just cross the river and start eating grapes that the clusters are so big that two men have to carry them that they were talking about. But there's a space sometimes that God allows us to go through that requires us to depend on him. Now all this food is gone. They have no sustenance. Can you imagine waking up the next day after you recommitted everything to him? After you made sure you were committed to the covenant, after you gave thanks and you gave testimony and you praised God for what he did for your life and acknowledged him, you wake up the next morning and the food that you're so used to is gone. Your cabinets are empty. Well, I thought we were going to go possess the land. I thought we were going to have victory, and now I don't have anything to eat. Sometimes God has to take something away from us to get our attention and get us focused on where he's trying to get us to go. He had no purpose in them eating manna when there were vineyards that they didn't plant that were ready for them to start eating from. Sometimes you get so used to manna that you're not even looking at the fruit that's there waiting for you. You get so used to just barely making it by and eating the mundane that you don't even realize that God is preparing a banquet for you. And in our lives, in your life and in my life, when we step over into a new season and everything all of a sudden seems to dry up, we get angry with God. What are you doing? Nothing is working now. I thought we were going in the right direction, and God the whole time is just preparing you for what you're getting ready to step into. There's no place for manna in the promised land. The place for manna is in the desert. The place for manna is in the wilderness. The place for manna is when you're wandering somewhere with no direction at all. That's where manna is necessary. But when you're getting ready to go into the promised land and you're getting ready to step into a season that God has for you, that he's ordained for you, manna doesn't belong there. He's got something better for you. So why do we complain about manna disappearing? Why do we complain about not having what we always had? Maybe it's time that God's trying to move us into something better. Maybe he's trying to get us where he's trying to get us to go. Leave that stuff behind. It had a place. It had a purpose. There was a reason for manna, but you don't need it anymore. We question God. I recommitted to you. I was thankful and I worshiped you. And now you're taking away my sustenance? Why'd I lose my job, God? That's how I fed my family. That's how I had finances. Perhaps God's preparing you for something else. And if you don't get out of where you are, your eyes will never look somewhere else. And so he removes some things from our lives so we can begin to look up on the horizon. That song that we sang about, hello joy, hello peace, hello love, that last line, it's a new horizon. Many times we get so focused on what's right in front of us that we don't lift our heads up and see where he's taking us. We don't get our head out of the mundane and out of the frustrating to see the horizon that God is preparing for us at the end of the road because we're so set on what things have always done and how they've always been. We don't see where God's taking us. So they lose manna. didn't get what they were wanting, they were used to. Things began to change. They weren't sure how to handle this. They had to start living by faith and not by sight. They could live by sight when manna was falling because they knew where it was and they could see it out in their yard every morning. When it's not there, all of a sudden, you got to live by faith or you're not living at all. Had to start living by faith and not by sight. No manna every morning. Chapter 6 goes forward from there and tells us that Joshua gets the plan from God on how to conquer Jericho. But God doesn't tell him to let the people know. He just tells Joshua. All the people knew was that they had no manna, they were facing a fortified city, and the only instruction they received was just to walk around it and be quiet. That doesn't seem very earth-shattering to me. In fact, I'm a little depressed. No, nothing to eat, no direction except for walking around. This doesn't make any sense. Everybody's making fun of us. They're standing on the wall laughing at us. And we can't talk to them. We can't engage with them. We're not picking up a sword. We're not doing anything. What's going on, God? The space between Jordan and Jericho, it's not an easy time, but it is an important time. You would think it would be easy. Jordan's miracle, seeing the walls fall flat, but there's a space in time that's required of the children of Israel, and it's required of us today. They had to recommit. They had to be thankful. They had to walk by faith. And here's the hard one. They had to obey. It's not hard to recommit after a miracle. When you see the waters part, when you see them just dry up in front of you, it's not hard to commit. It's not hard to be faithful to church when God heals your body. I'll commit to that every time. It's not hard. It's not hard to be thankful for deliverance. It's not hard to be grateful when you feel like God spares you from a wreck when you call on it. It's not hard to do that. But when God begins to take things away from me, when God begins to remove things from my life, obedience is not always easy. Questioning is the first thing that comes to mind. Doubt is certainly prevalent, and fear is absolutely at the door when things are removed from my life and I don't know what's happening and I've just been asked to obey. It's not easy. That space between Jordan and Jericho. The space between the season that God is removing you from and the season that He's moving you into. You understand what God had prepared. We know it. They didn't know it. The spies knew it. I don't know why it took them 40 years for them to understand what Joshua and Caleb got in the very beginning. They walked in and said, listen, everything they said was true. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's houses we didn't build and vineyards we didn't plant and gardens we didn't sow any seed into. It's all there for us. God had ordained this and planned it. God had people working to build houses the whole time that they're out in the wilderness. He had somebody getting up early every morning and planting a vineyard for them. But all they could see was that manna was gone. It's not easy. We know the end of the story, obviously, is that on the seventh day, on the seventh time around on that day, is when the priests blew their trumpet and the people shouted, and we attribute the walls falling to the people shouting, but that's not the reason the walls fell. The walls did not fall because the people shouted. They fell because they recommitted themselves and they gave thanks to God for past victories and they walked by faith and they obeyed. If you take any of those out of that equation, you don't see the walls fall. If you don't recommit, you're not seeing walls fall. If you're not grateful for what God has done in your life and give Him the place that He deserves, the walls aren't falling. If you don't walk by faith when you can't see with your own eyes what's going on, you don't see the walls fall. And if you can't obey when you don't understand, you don't see the walls fall. I'm not talking about following blindly. I'm not talking about, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Obviously, you know where I'm going here. But when God's saying, I've got this little bit of the plan I'm going to expose you to. This is all you get. And we say, but can I know the next step? And He says, no. Then what do we do? But can I see what tomorrow looks like? No. What do we do? Well, can I see next month, or can I see the ending of it? Can you show me how it ends up? Am I going to be okay? And He says, you have to trust me. What do you do? That's the space between Jordan and Jericho. That's the space between last season and now the new season. That's the space between knowing where you're heading, they knew they were going to Jordan, and knowing where God's taking you. It takes a while to see that. What do you do? Can you obey when you don't see tomorrow? When you're walking around the city? I walked around this city yesterday and nothing happened. I know that he pulled us through the Red Sea and now he's pulled us through the Jordan River. And I know that God's faithful, but now our manna's gone and I'm walking in circles. I thought I had it right. I thought I figured it out. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. I thought I was in the will of God, but now I'm walking in circles with nothing to eat. What am I going to do? 6 day, nothing, same. Can you imagine what that was like on the 6th day in camp when they went back to go to bed? I don't know about, Joshua's lost his mind. He has no clue. I wish we had Moses back with us, because this people were the same people that loved to murmur at every complaint they could. But Joshua doesn't know what he's talking about. Then on the 7th day, they get done with the first lap and they turn to go back to camp, and Joshua says, no, we have a few more to do today. All this time leading up, it's only out of obedience. It's not out of knowledge. It's one thing to listen to the voice of God when you see what's happening. It's one thing for us to look back and say, yeah, they should definitely believe because we read the story where the walls fall flat. But they didn't have that. The only thing they had was an ability to be obedient to the word of God, even when they had nothing to eat and they didn't know what was happening. Those walls fell because they recommitted themselves in a time of miraculous occurrence in their life. They gave thanks to God and put him in the right place. They walked by faith, not by sight, and they were obedient. Today, I'm challenging us to do something. We're getting ready to step into a new year. This is the first Sunday of 2024. Brother Andy, you can help me with the music. God has won some victories for you and for me and for us corporately. We've seen God move. We've seen God do some incredible things. We've seen his hand on our lives and our families. But I believe right now, in the spirit, we're between Jordan and Jericho. We've seen God move, but yet we're not really where God wants us to be yet. We're still facing Jericho, and we don't know how to fix it. I'm talking to some people here today. Listen, I just feel this in my spirit today. I feel this and felt this in prayer. I'm talking to some people today. It was easy to recommit because God did some incredible things for you. And when we worship, we can lift our hands and say, awesome, you're awesome, God. I love you. Thank you for what you did yesterday. But some things are drying up. Some things are being removed from your life, and it makes you a little unnerved. I'm grateful for what you did, God, but now you're removing some things from my life. It's not how it's always been, and I'm a little bit unsteady, and I don't know really what you're getting ready to do. And in the middle of that, going forward, and God begins to just give you little pieces at a time, and it's not very much to go on, and it's hard to be in that space between Jordan and Jericho. I've just simply come to remind you that the God that brought you through Jordan and the God that saved you through the Passover is the same God that provided for you in the wilderness with manna, and he's going to be the same God that will bring walls down in this new season, but you've got to trust him in that space between Jordan and Jericho. You've got to rely on him the same way you did in the desert. Listen, you begin to walk by sight in the desert because you knew it was there. Now it's gone. Now what do? We trust him the same way. The same way the people that prayed for deliverance in Egypt, and it didn't take it 2 years or 10 years or 40 years. It took 400 years. But God had a perfect plan and a perfect time. And when the moment is right, you will see the walls fall. But you got to stick through the plan. You can't quit on day 3. You can't stop on day 6. You can't even stop on day 7, on lap 6. You've got to complete what God has asked you to do. And if you will be obedient, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. We'd rather it be the other way around. Let me heap sacrifices on this to get my way. No, it's obedience that brings walls down. This is what I'm asking us to do as we step into this new year. Over the next 21 days, 3 weeks. I'm asking us to enter into a collective time of prayer and fasting. For those of you that were here Wednesday night, there was such an incredible presence of God in this place. That is just the beginning of what God is wanting to do for our church. But it doesn't happen when you just have to walk by sight alone. Some of you are going to have to walk through some things in the next couple weeks. Some of you over the next couple days, you're going to experience some things that you weren't quite prepared for. I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost is if we'll recommit this next 3 weeks with prayer and fasting, this space between Jordan and Jericho, God's going to bring about some miracles that you couldn't have figured out on your own if you tried to. God's going to bless you in ways that you couldn't have manufactured if you tried to. But you've got to trust Him in this space between Jordan and Jericho. The walls will fall. It will be miraculous. The victory will be in place. But it only happens through obedience. Would you stand with me this morning? I know this is a different way to end our service, but I'm asking over these next 3 days to recommit to personal and corporate time of prayer. More than what we're used to. I'm not saying you're not praying. I'm saying committing to additional prayer in your life. It's carving out time to say, God, this is an addition to what I normally do. I'm going to take time to have additional time with you. I'm going to fast. I'm not going to dictate what your fast is. But I ask you for the next 21 days to take something and say, that's what I'm fasting. I'm removing that from my life. It could be food. It could be social media. Some people like to do that. If that's what's something that's hard for you to give up, maybe that's the answer for you. But you choose something that you're going to fast. And let me just be practical here. If you hate vegetables, don't fast vegetables. Just being real. Fasting is removing something that you want, that your body wants, removing it out of the way and committing that time to say, I'm removing this out of my life. I'm removing this desire from my life to draw closer to God. I'm gonna challenge you to figure that out on your own. You're responsible to yourself. I'm not asking for a report. I'm just asking for 21 days of prayer and fasting. Recommitting to that corporate time of covenant with Him. Giving thanks for what God has done. I wonder what would happen over the next 21 days if we start our day with thanks. God, thank you. Not, can you do this for me? But God, thank you for what you've already done. If you would start those next 21 days with thanks. Thank you for what you've already done in my life. Thank you for what you've done in my family. Thank you for what you've done in my marriage and in my finances. I'm asking you for the next 21 days to walk by faith. Listen, I realize when you begin to engage in spiritual warfare, there's distractions that come in. There will be things over the next 3 weeks that will give you convenient opportunities to step out of what I'm challenging you to do. But I'm asking you to walk by faith and allow God to begin to move. And then be obedient to the voice of God, even when you don't see the end of that. There will be times in this 3 weeks of prayer and fasting that you're going to hear the voice of God. And God may ask you to do something or remove something or do something in your life. I'm challenging you. Be obedient to that. It doesn't have to come from the pastor. You have your own walk with God. You have your own relationship with God. If God begins to speak to you in this time of consecration, listen to Him. Allow Him to mold you and to shape you. Increase your prayer. Choose something to fast. That space between Jordan and Jericho is not easy, but if we trust God through that process, I believe we're on the very precipice of what God would have us see. And here's the reality. Not only were they on the edge of what God was wanting for them, but their decision and their obedience also affected Rahab. You go read the story of Rahab. She was waiting with a scarlet thread out of her window for God to deliver her when He took out the whole rest of the city. But if they weren't obedient and the walls never fell, then Rahab doesn't get to be delivered. And Rahab is not brought into the children of Israel. Rahab is also in the lineage of Christ. There's more hanging in the balance than just your checkbook and your house and your wants. There's people that God wants us to impact for His kingdom, that if we're so focused on us, we lose sight of what He's asking us to do. So I wonder today if we can, we just take this next few moments. Maybe they can sing what we just sang a few moments ago. Corporately, we're doing this, but this is a personal thing on your part. Maybe with your spouse or your husband, your wife, your family. If you just want to say, okay, I'm going to take these next few moments and just commit to some things. Over the next 3 weeks, God, I'm going to fast something. I'm going to increase my prayer time with You. I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to be obedient to Your voice to see where You want to take me between Jordan and Jericho. Would you do that right now as they begin to sing? Would you just lift your hands wherever you're comfortable praying right now? Would you just begin to reach out to Him? Listen, I know God's already done some incredible things. What we experienced Wednesday night was awesome. It was an impact of the Spirit of God in our house, in our church. But God has so much more for us. If we can take this time out right now and say, okay, I'm focusing in right now, God. I'm getting rid of distractions. I'm going to focus in for the next 3 weeks as we begin this new year for You to speak to my life, to speak to my family. I trust You today. Come on, that's it. Somebody, would you just begin to touch Him right now? Lord, I love You. I want nothing more than to be in a relationship with You. I want to see where You've got, the direction You've got for my life and for my family. I want my steps to be ordered of You. God, if there's something in my life that's precluding me from receiving what You've got, would You just tell me, Lord, help me see it. Help me to remove it from my life. Because I want to go where You want me to go. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to impact who You want me to impact. Lord, I worship You today. Lord, even though I don't understand, I worship You. I tell You, Lord, I worship You today. I worship You. We lift our hands right now all over this place. Lord, I love You. God, You've been so good to us. God, we can look back over our lives. God, I can point to the things that You've brought me through. God, You've been faithful. I recommit some things to You right now. I'm grateful for what You've done for me, God. But I'm also committing to, even when I can't see the way forward, I trust that You're making a way. Even when I can't feel what You're doing and sense the way that I need to go, Your word and Your voice will guide me. You will put steps in front of me as they need to be there, God. I pray over the next 3 weeks as this congregation begins to focus in and consecrate some things to You. God, I pray that You would bring some things to pass that have been prayed for a long time. I pray that You would bring some answers to prayers, God, that have been prayed for a long time. Lord, in the middle of this fasting and this prayer and the consecration, I pray that You would bring steps into focus, God, and direction to lives, because everybody in this room has a purpose and a plan that You've laid out for them. I pray that You would make it clear. And Lord, if there's anything in our lives that we need to remove, God, if there's anything that would preclude or get in the way of Your will for my life, God, I'm giving You open access during these next 3 weeks to enlighten me, to show me, God, that I could remove any distraction, any weight, any sin that would so easily beset me. God, I remove it from my life because I want Your will and I want Your purpose. And I want to see Jericho fall. And I want to see my family saved. And I want to see the miracle in my life. And I desire Your will for my life. And I trust You even in this space between when I can't see. Lord, You've been so good to us. Bless this church. Lord, I pray again favor, God, on our marriages and our families. God, as we recommit, I pray that You would strengthen our families, God. Help us, God, to do Your will, to follow after Your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we look for incredible things over these next few weeks. We trust You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.